Many of our deadliest heat waves have been made worse by climate change. And because of those heat waves, Australians are dying.
This is James Goldie, PhD candidate and climate change researcher at the University of New South Wales.
I think about a decade ago, you might remember you heard a lot of things like, we can't put any particular event onto climate change. We can talk about the trends, but not the particulars of certain events. That started to change since then. Some of our most dangerous heat waves, like Black Saturday in 2009, killed hundreds of Australians, and that was made worse by climate change.
Heat waves are becoming a quintessential part of the Australian summer. Last year was the hottest recorded year on record, and temperatures continue to rise. Heat waves already caused the greatest number of deaths from natural disasters in Australia, more than cyclones, floods, and bushfires. Even though coping with the blistering summer heat might be a part of what it means to be Australian, James says even though our bodies have the ability to adapt, we are just not equipped to deal with this new kind of extreme heat.
Most of our cells require a fairly sensitive temperature range, and our body's really good at adapting to the conditions outside. So, you know, everyone knows that, you know, we sweat a heap on hot days, and that's our body's way of, you know, keeping the thermostat steady. And when that starts to go out of whack, when it becomes too hot or if it becomes too humid and we can't sweat anymore, when sweat starts dripping off, it's not cooling you down anymore. And when that happens, we start to see failures all over the place.
And when you inevitably can no longer deal with the heat, you do everything you can to escape it. People often flock to shopping centers and movie theaters, trying to avoid overheating. But when things get so bad and air conditioning doesn't do the trick, you tend to go to the hospital. During heat waves, hospitals see a huge influx in patients. Some are suffering from heat stroke, and others are just dehydrated. But just like us, hospitals are finding it hard to manage the rising temperatures and oncoming heat waves.
As things get worse, the load on hospitals during summer is going to start increasing, and that's something we really need to think about.
Hospitals are the sort of bastion of sort of last resort for people maintaining their health. It's the last port of call. So people actually enter hospital when they're in need of significant assessment and treatment to maintain, sustain, or indeed restore life.
This is Dr. Liz Hanna, president of the Climate and Health Alliance and professor at ANU. How do heat waves affect hospitals?
In many ways. We've had incidences in Melbourne and in Adelaide where we've had massive heat waves and hundreds of people have been forced to flock to the local hospitals, and it's very difficult for those to be able to accommodate. And so there's the logistics of how they're going to manage that. They need a lot of staff, they need space, they need beds, they need equipment and resources, and unless they're fully prepared and they have an enormous level of flexibility to be able to respond to this surge in demand, then the level of care is suboptimal.
Often during extreme heat waves, hospitals are not prepared. It's not just the high number of patients needing treatment that makes it harder for hospitals to cope with the summertime stress. When it gets too hot, our bodies shut down and stop operating at full capacity. And during heat waves, hospitals do the same thing.
Hospitals themselves are also subject to the ravages of heat, so they also can suffer power insurgences, shortage of staff, so they're under stress themselves to be able to operate at precisely the same time as when they're expected to really ramp up their capability.
So if the power did go out because of a heat wave, what would happen?
Dramatic. If the power went out, hospitals under normal circumstances, and I've actually been involved in a situation where this system failed, is that they are sort of quarantined, so that if there's a power failure, the power system will make sure that it prioritises really vital infrastructure such as a hospital. But sometimes that does fail. The other thing is that they have backup, and of course the thing is that backup only lasts for a certain period of time. And so if a hospital, particularly a large hospital, were to suffer a power failure, then it would, again, internally prioritise the critical things, which would be the cold chains, theatres. And so you then run the risk of people working in heat and, indeed, patients suffering exposure to heat in a not very well ventilated building. And, of course, this would only happen when it was very hot, so opening the windows is not going to make it better.
So were hospitals originally designed to deal with this kind of heat stress?
Well, no, they weren't, on account of it's a new threat. Yes, we've had, I mean, Australia's always had hot days. The problem is that this is becoming more frequent and longer, and they're hotter. So it's a new risk.
Liz says even if hospitals think they are prepared for the oncoming heat waves, no one knows just how hot the summer is going to get, and hospitals need to continue to adapt to how climate change is changing global temperatures.
So what we're looking at here is the potential for heat waves to come, and we don't know when, but heat waves to come at some stage, and we know that they will do, that will exceed the preparedness of the hospitals. So as far as what they need to do to adapt, it's an ever-increasing thing. It's a dynamic thing. It has to change and just continually improve. And they'll only know when they fail, of course, when they fail.
Liz thinks there still isn't enough attention paid to how heat can affect human health and the impact it has on the way hospitals can treat patients. This might be because not everyone is affected by the heat equally. Everything from where you live to your level of income can play a role in how the heat affects you. People in low-income areas tend to get hit by the heat more, so often the need for better care and treatment gets overlooked.
I think the people up in Darwin call it the carpet walkers, which is that breed of people who, you know, they have somewhere to go to work and it's air-conditioned and they're comfortable and they, you know, live and dwell in offices, as it were. They have a major underestimation of what proportion of the population do not walk carpets, you know, that are outside for most or indeed a large part of their day and who are exposed. And they don't seem to consider the, you know, the district nurses, possibly because everyone they know, everyone they speak to, is in a similar boat and they're all a privileged class.
According to Liz, there is only one way to help hospitals and communities deal with global warming and heat waves.
Well, the best way to fix it is to stop the warming. So that's always number one.
And even if we get better at managing the heat, and even if hospitals get better at treating patients during heat waves, according to James, it still won't be enough.
The fact is that adapting to climate change is important, but it's like adapting to a kitchen fire. It doesn't fix the problem.